So what happens on a honeymoon? A husband and wife who have just committed themselves to one another in lifelong love have a special trip usually where they spend time enjoying one another. But the time comes when they need to head home. For it is here in their home that they will begin to build a life together and that they will take to heart the day-to-day responsibilities of living side by side. Well, over the last 2 months since I've become the pastor of St. Peter's, for me this has kind of been like a honeymoon. The opportunity to connect with you in this new way, the expressions of thanks and appreciation, people saying how glad they are I am here, has been very special indeed. This has been a joy-filled time for me, and I hope for you as well. But I'm here this morning to say to you that the honeymoon is now over. That I want this to be a good thing, though. That doesn't mean that it's downhill from here. Rather, we have an opportunity now to continue the wonderful work that is St. Peter's. And this morning and until the 11th of November, I'm going to be preaching at my homilies on the theme of stewardship. Stewardship is a beautiful biblical word that we see it both in the Old and New Testaments. When we see this word stewardship in the Old Testament, it always has about it the idea that persons are entrusted with property and things that belong to another, so that they have been put in charge of another's property. Jesus has a number of parables that also focus on this theme. But perhaps the clearest expression of what the Bible means by stewardship is written by St. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, where he says, "This is how one should regard us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy." Paul focuses on two things. Those who are stewards are servants. They're servants because what has been entrusted to them in this case are the mysteries of God. This, God's revelation, what God has revealed to us about himself. But not only are they to be servants, they are also to be trustworthy. And that is another important dimension of this. If you were able to be here on the 9th of September for my installation, I so appreciated that liturgy because in that liturgy, Bishop McGrattan asked me a number of questions where he really was underscoring this idea. Jonathan, will you be trustworthy? Will you be able to take to heart what it means to have oversight under me as your bishop of this parish of St. Peter's? In other words, Jonathan, will you be a good steward? But that wasn't all he asked. With each question he asked of me, he then turned to the congregation and asked you for your response, for your participation. And that is the thing that is key for us to understand in these next weeks as I give these homilies, that stewardship is something that involves both me, but it also involves you. And the more we come to an appreciation of what it is to be stewards here at St. Peter's, we'll have a deepening sense not only of connection, involvement, but of us being responsible together for the stewarding of this parish. So what I want to do for the rest of this morning's homily is I want to give us a perspective on the attitude a steward is to have. And let me begin with a question. When we think about it today, what are the things that people most often desire? And if we were to go onto the internet or just when you're standing at the checkout line at Sobeys or the Co-op, you can get an idea by just looking at all of the magazines on the checkout stand. Things like position, wealth, health, health, and beauty. Position, wealth, health, and beauty. So I don't do this very often, but I got distracted the other day, and there I found myself on the internet, and there was a really handsome photo of Prince Harry and Meghan, Duchess of Sussex. And so I clicked on the video, and what a great video that was, sort of, because wow, they've got it all. They've got wealth, they've got position, they've got beauty. They've got it. And it's sort of attractive. But then it was interesting. I started to prepare this homily. And I thought of another royalty. He lived a long time ago, way before Harry. His name was Solomon. And listen to what Solomon said about his experience of position, wealth, health, and beauty. I made great works. I built houses and planted vineyards for myself. I made myself gardens and parks, and I planted all kinds of fruit trees. I made myself pools from which to water the forest and growing trees. I bought male and female slaves. They were also born in my household. I had great possessions of herds and flocks, more than anyone who had been in Jerusalem before me, and I had concubines beyond counting. What a lucky guy. Wow. Talk about position, talk about wealth, talk about health, talk about beauty. It was all there. But the same man who wrote those words also wrote these words. I preferred wisdom to scepters and thrones. What are scepters and thrones? Power, position. All gold is but a little sand in her sight, and silver will be accounted as clay before wisdom. What are silver and gold? Wealth. I loved her, that is, wisdom, more than health and beauty. I chose to have her rather than light. So here's the remarkable thing about the Bible. It gets it that we are really attracted to position, wealth, health, and beauty. And in a way, they're not wrong in and of themselves. But when they become that which is most important, that is when there is this distortion that happens. Wisdom. Solomon understood that this is to be our heart's desire. The word wisdom in the Greek language is this beautiful word, sophia. Sophia. And the word for friend in Greek is the word philos. Philos. Philosophia. That's what philosophy is. It is the friend of wisdom. And what Solomon wants us to understand is that he discovered that it is in the pursuit of wisdom that we find true meaning. And it is this that the church has been entrusted with above everything else. The wisdom that comes from God. And to be a community of faith is to be that place where we are inviting people more and more to come to see what Solomon saw. But we know from our gospel that this is not easy. For here was a young man who was a very godly person. And from his youth, he had practiced the commandments. He hadn't killed, he hadn't committed adultery, he didn't steal, he honored his parents, he didn't defraud. But one of the things that's interesting in Jesus listing these commandments, all of which are from the second table, dealing with our relationships with others, he does not mention, thou shalt not covet, which I think is interesting, because that's what this man had trouble with. He was consumed with a kind of avarice, a disproportionate love for material things. And Jesus says to him, there's this call to a certain detachment. And we live in a world where all of these things are like Velcro attaching to us. And it is so hard to detach ourselves from this over-exaggerated desire for material things. And so Jesus puts it so beautifully in today's gospel. And he's so loving. He says, children, It's harder for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven than for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Now, have you ever seen a camel go through the eye of a needle? Like, I have enough time threading a piece of thread or wool through a needle. I can't imagine trying to put a camel through it. And he might have meant it just like that. It's like impossible. But there's another interpretation that the early church fathers had. That in Jerusalem, they said, there was a gate called the eye of the needle. And for a camel to get through this low gate, it had to get down on all fours. It had to have all of its packs taken off of it so that it could just squeeze through. And maybe that's what Jesus is getting at. That for us, because we can become so preoccupied with stuff, we lose what is most important. And that is this gal, Sophia. Wisdom. And so as we begin this series on stewardship, it is this perspective that I invite us to have. So that with Moses in today's psalm, we can pray, teach us to number our days so that we can acquire a heart of wisdom. We all need to learn this kind of spiritual arithmetic. For it is only as we pursue wisdom that life takes on its deeper significance. So I'm glad the honeymoon is over. I'm looking forward to getting down to the wonderful work of the stewardship of philosophy, as together with Solomon, at the beginning of our reading today, we can declare, "Therefore I prayed and understanding was given me. I called upon God, and the Spirit of wisdom came to me."